Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. A lot going on today, and we are going to get right to it with some fantastic guests right off the shoot. We'll look ahead to next football season without wasting much time. We'll also take your phone calls as well. Let's get right to Show Me the Money. How about that? SEC never lacking when it comes to big payoffs, and that is the case again today. The league showed a slight and very likely, how about almost automatically, temporary revenue decline in 22, according to new tax records. The conference has also released that every school in the SEC, all 14, will receive close to $50 million in payoff. SMU, which was snubbed by the Big 12 and pretty much everyone else, is now rumored to be heading to the Pac-12. The commissioner of the Pac-12 was trying to go incognito, maybe incognito as well, wearing a ball cap at the SMU basketball game, but he was spotted sitting next to the president and the AD. Probably not the best place to be sitting if you want to be ignored. And it's 2016 all over again for the Commodores. They barely got it in with 1/10 of a second left. This is what happened, a kick out, and yes siree, Tennessee goes down after seemingly wrapping up the game. So the Volunteers, a week ago, number 2 in the country. This week they're number 5, and they're going the wrong direction as March nears. Auburn isn't wasting any time thinking about the past. They are ready for the next season, and they are showing a lot of progress, and we will talk about how they moved up under Hugh Freeze a little bit later on in the show. And back to the money, Georgia has spent mightily in recruiting, and my, has it paid off. According to a story in USA Today, the Dogs spent $4.5 million in recruiting. Now, let me make it clear, that's for getting around the country, expenses, that's not for anything else. And it looks like maybe FSU has finally found the right coach after going through a few after Jimbo Fisher tanked the program on his way out of town. Mike Norvell, who had a shaky beginning, is looking good right now. He'll be making a little bit over $8 million a year, according to his new deal. And we showed you this yesterday. Who's bringing back the most production? This according to ESPN's Bill Conley, who came up with this list. Let's say hello to Bill and try to understand what it all means. Bill, thank you very much. Before we get into specifics, how do you come up with the metrics on your poll?
Well, basically, it's just taking previous years of data and figuring out, you know, what correlates the most to moving up or down in the rankings, basically. I mean, it's intended to be basically kind of a superpowered returning starters, right? A little more weight on the quarterback and then just experiment until we figure out what makes the biggest difference from year to year in terms of turnover.
And sometimes the schools that are coming back with a lot of production didn't have very good years. That could mean that they didn't lose a lot of great talent like Georgia, Alabama, and others. So let's see if we can understand what all this really means. A&M factors in really highly here, according to your poll. They had a mess of a season. What if anything, can we read into this?
Well, basically, the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom are likely to move up and down, respectively. It's not necessarily a you return everybody, therefore you'll be good thing as much as a you return everybody, therefore you'll be better. So, I mean, after the year A&M had, you would hope that they would be better. And this is certainly proof that they were a pretty young team last year. And among other things, the number of players they lost to the transfer portal, obviously that could hurt from a depth perspective, but it doesn't really change. It wasn't a lot of first stringers they lost, I guess. So, yeah, they hit that. Anybody over that 80% mark or better is really, really likely to improve. It's not guaranteed. BYU led the nation in returning production and looked great for about 2 weeks last year and collapsed. But A&M is in pretty good position here from an experience standpoint, and that's something we couldn't say last year.
Down at the bottom, there's Alabama returning 40%, ranked 125th. Before anybody hits the panic button, they are losing two of the best players in the country in Young and Will Anderson. But is there anything to be concerned about with such a low number?
Well, it is lower than normal. All the teams that recruit really well and finish in the top five every year, Georgia, Alabama, throw Ohio State in there. Those teams are never going to finish. They're never going to rank first in return to production, right? They have too many high-level talents that are going to go pro each year. But, you know, Georgia ranking, I think, 80th or something in that neighborhood, that's kind of where you want to be. You don't want to be at the very bottom, even if you're used to a lot of turnover. And this is more turnover, especially when you throw in a couple of coordinators. This is more turnover than Alabama's used to. And it'll be really interesting. I think right now, my SP Plus projections come out next week. Right now, they might end up fourth, which I think is about the lowest they've ever been in one of my preseason projections. It is certainly a sign that the floor is really, really, really high in Tuscaloosa. But this really is a more turnover than normal.
I don't want to preempt your next big piece, but give us a little bit of information. What does that mean, being fourth?
Well, I mean, it means you're still obviously one of the national title favorites, but you're starting off probably 5 or 6 points behind Georgia. You know, Alabama, especially with what they did to K-State in the bowl game, like they ended up second in SP+. The upside they showed throughout the year was still higher than kind of the downside we saw from time to time. And, you know, the fact that they're fourth, you know, let's see. Yeah, I've got them about 4.5 points behind Georgia to start off. They'll probably be behind Ohio State. We'll see how everything else falls. But it is pretty, you know, it's hard to describe. This isn't a rebuild. You know, being in a top four team does not mean you're starting over or falling apart or anything like that. But it is a reminder that there was a little more mortality in what we saw from Alabama last year. And then they lost quite a few of their best players after that.
Is there any data to go back and look at programs in a similar position and what that means at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, typically, well, most of the teams that are down in the bottom, like last year, Nevada was really, really far in the bottom and they collapsed. Hawaii was down, I think, second from last and they collapsed. Well, you get down to that level, you're almost guaranteed to regress, except most of those teams down there don't recruit like Alabama. So they're going to, obviously, Alabama's going to have a chance when it comes to just pure talent level and upside. They're going to be needing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores to step up, though, and that does make it a pretty precarious game. This could be the floor, the really high floor could be a little lower this year.
And a number of your colleagues, including you, were asked today on ESPN.com to predict your Final Four picks for next season. We're all having fun here. None of this matters a whole lot in February. But if my memory is correct, Bill, of about 8 ESPN college football commentators, you were the only one who did not have Alabama in the Final Four next season. Is this some of the reasons why?
I guess. I mean, obviously, you know, if the playoff was six teams, I would have included them. And this will all change if they come out and beat Texas by 38 points in the second week of the season. But no, I think they do have a few more questions to answer than normal, and that was about all that went into it. I'm not going to pretend like the sky is falling and they're going to go 6-6 here or anything.
But not having Alabama either number one, two, or in the top four is a big statement for somebody that knows the material like you do. This isn't just some guy that you grab at the end of a bar at closing time.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think I would have. I don't think I realized I was the only one not doing it, but no, it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with this year and whether they can kind of skate through and, you know, avoid the road traps better than they did a year ago with a new quarterback, with a new everything. I'm very curious. Consider this balance for, you know, I ranked them 2020 Alabama ahead of 2019 LSU and got yelled at by everybody. This is the counterbalance for that, I guess.
Well, they do. You mentioned the Texas game early. They do go to A&M. It's a game they lost 2 years ago. And yeah, other than that, I don't know. The schedule looks like every other SEC schedule. Well, Bill, not that we're bookmarking any of this or clipping it, but we are. And we will see you when Alabama and when Nick Saban's holding up that trophy at in Houston in early January, we'll be calling you for a comment.
Absolutely.
Bill Connelly joining us to start things off on a Thursday afternoon. Very interesting thoughts there. We'll talk to Tom Green about the resurgence at Auburn. David Hale, he does have Alabama in his picks. And Steve Berkowitz on all the money being made and spent in the SEC. And your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Appreciate you being here on a Thursday afternoon. Love to hear from you. And the number is 855-242-7285. A number of guests will be dropping by. Let's get to the calls. And Rick starts it off in North Carolina. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Always enjoyed your show.
Thank you.
All right. I just want to comment the Southern Hoop series is outstanding. Whoever put that together has done a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I saw your interview with Dan Issel the other day. There's a class act. And I was at the game when he and Pete had the shootout.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes. I was a student at LSU. Pete scored 64 and Issel scored 51. And Kentucky still won by 16.
That is amazing.
But it was just unbelievable. The student section was packed. And even though we got beat, you had to admire what Kentucky was doing. And Issel had such a pretty shot from outside for a big man. And, of course, Pete, you say, he did everything with the basketball that I don't think anybody else will ever do again. But I just wanted to comment, the series is great. I'm looking forward to the rest of it. And to watch Pistol Pete Maravich play was a privilege for me, and even when I see the film nowadays, I'm still just blown away. And
yeah, you know, it's interesting, Rick. I mean, there have been iconic players. I'll never forget first time I saw Shaq in person. It was one of the most amazing sights I've ever seen as a basketball fan. But I never got to see Pistol. But I can't imagine, and the players today are unique in many different ways. But I don't think there has been anyone like him since.
No, I think you're right. He did things, like I said, the passing and the basketball. And I know Jordan is probably the GOAT of all time. But
sure.
To me, Pete, with the restrictions he had, no three-point shot, no shot clock, I saw Tennessee freeze the ball and keep the score in the 40s when I was a student against him. And, of course, freshmen couldn't play back then. And
right.
That was separate. And just everything he accomplished in the context of the time was just unbelievable. And Dale Brown had a great comment on one of the shows. He said, you would have to have scored 15 threes in a game to outscore Pete's average of 44.2, which was his career.
Yeah, I can't remember. Somebody went back and through his entire career and figured out what his average would have been with three-pointers. And, I mean, it's significantly more, but it is amazing because, I mean, he threw it up from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We would sit there and we'd say, what in the heck is he doing? And then all of a sudden the ball's in the hoop. And it was, like, just crazy. And we'd stand outside in the student section to get in for 2.5-3 hours like they do at Duke and Carolina nowadays. But it was well worth it. And the game was on CBS. And my mother said, why are you going to the game if you can watch it on TV? And I said, Mom, you've never seen anything like this in person. That's why we're going. And she got a grin out of that. But he was just phenomenal. But I did want to comment on that. And the series on the hoops is great. I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Thank you very much.
Well.
I'll make sure Fritz was on here the other day talking about he's a producer of it. Let's get some more phone calls in here. And Randy is up next in Florida. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Okay, I need to ask you a question. I know football not till next year or 2023. Is Florida? Do they have any players, any talent at all? I mean, all these other teams are getting better. I mean, on the football.
Yeah, they do have talent. I think the questions start at the obvious position, and that's quarterback. And I don't really think they have an answer yet for that.
Oh, wow.
And I think if you're a Florida fan and you're not concerned, you're not being honest with yourself. It's still February, which means maybe another couple of players can pop in there at the last moment. But the recruiting was good, but it wasn't significantly different, according to the experts, than what Dan Mullen had been doing there, which wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it's too bad about Johnson. He went to Kansas State. If they'd have had him with Castleton, they'd have really had a good team. That Johnson was a good player. He really was.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you very much. Well, I thought we were talking about football. Basketball, I actually feel pretty good about. I misunderstood your question. I think the basketball program at Florida is in extremely good hands. Thanks for the call. Dustin is in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, good morning from Tulsa, Paul.
Good morning.
I listened yesterday, and I heard that Jim from Tuscaloosa called in and used my name.
He did.
Sorry about that.
Used it rather poorly, I might add, too.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I don't know where he got the idea that he could do that, but that was ridiculous. The reason I couldn't call in yesterday, I was actually on a date with AJ's mama. So,
if AJ's mama thinks as much of herself as AJ thinks of his calls, then she's got to be one hot mama.
Yeah, she's hot all right. I actually heard his call yesterday, and he said that he whenever I call, he tries for 2 hours to work it out on paper. And I got to tell you, finishing the maze on the back of a kid's menu at Shoney's is no big accomplishment, AJ. I don't care what color crayon you use, man. To quote the great Rush Limbaugh, I would have to have half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. You know, I think AJ is kind of like the Jim Boeheim of the Paul Feinbaum show, I think. In fact, I think AJ stands for alternate Jim. He's just the next Jim Boeheim, just loud, screaming about nothing.
Except Jim Boeheim at one point in his career did something.
Yes, that's true. Jim Boeheim does have a catalog of success to look back on, whereas AJ just has a picture with some ugly sunglasses. That poor boy's head, it's like an orange on a toothpick. I did want to talk about Feinbaum NIL. You know, you had people ranking themselves. I thought Iman was very humble in putting himself at six. You know, all time, I probably wouldn't even be in the top 100. Of late, maybe like the last 2 or 3 months, I would hope that I'd fall somewhere in the top 25, you know, somewhere in that range. AJ, he's not even a preferred walk-on, but I would hope that I would fall somewhere in that range of, you know, being a scholarship player at least for a little bit.
Am I supposed to agree or disagree? I'm not sure. Matt
is
up next.
How you doing? You look good today, Paul Feinbaum. I want to talk about A&M football, but I want to talk about that guy who called me out. What was his name? Can you tell me? I forget his name so bad. What was his name, Paul?
Well, the guy talking about you, AJ. That was AJ, wasn't it?
Look, AJ, you think I'm the worst caller on this show? At least I'm one of the best callers on the list. You just sound like an attorney
So, hey, Matt, we were talking to AJ about where, so do you think you would rank yourself among the best callers? Or is that what you said?
Yes, I would. AJ is just a little punk who can't, all he does is talk to talk, but he can't walk the walk. That's all he does. And we're not going to go 8-4 this year.
Where do you think you would rank Matt among the best callers on the show right now?
I think I'd be like number 5.
Okay. Top 5.
And AJ would be like number 9.
Matt, what would your greatest attribute be to consider yourself one of the top 5 callers?
I'm more open-minded. I talk about different things. I talk about A&M football. But when someone comes at me on my team, at least my facts are straight. Unlike AJ, just like a little boy who got his butt whooped on the schoolyard.
Okay, well, that's good. That's really interesting. Will. Will is up next. Hey, Will.
What's up, Paul?
Hi there.
So, watching Alabama basketball last night, it just, like, it seems like more and more evident every week just how far Nate Oates has taken this basketball program. And, I mean, they're, what, 21-4, 21-3, 11-0 in the SEC. In my lifetime, I mean, I'm only 21, but I've never seen the Alabama basketball program at this level. I was wondering what you think about, like, do you think that, like, Alabama using a lot of their resources now to try and better their basketball program is, like, a measure to try and maybe cushion the blow for whenever Saban decides to hang it up?
Well, first of all, I think Alabama is doing a lot now. You know, ultimately, I think there was a push at one point to get a new arena. I don't know where that is at the moment, but the two sports don't compute. Whatever Alabama does in basketball right now is not going to replace what Nick Saban has done in football. The sports are completely different. It is remarkable that Alabama is doing this well in basketball. It's even more remarkable what a great hire Nate Oates was and the fact that he's still there and by all accounts will be there for a long time. It is even more a tribute to Greg Byrne and the people that run Alabama. But one is not going to replace the other. Thank you for the call. DR is up next in Birmingham. Hello, DR.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment on I-Man. I don't understand why when he calls, all he got to talk about is Alabama. He don't talk about his own school, Auburn. It's Nick Saban or something that's going on in Tuscaloosa. I think he's one of the worst callers you've got coming on. I'll even put Jim over I-Man. What you think?
Well, he does seem obsessed with Saban. And let me say this: can you really blame him for not talking about his own team?
No, I can't, Paul. That's the point I'm making. They can't even go to a bowl game. They got to talk about somebody else's team because their team can't even go to the Birmingham Bowl or no bowl. They just had to stay home and watch Alabama so they can comment the negatives on them, even though Alabama's playing in the Sugar Bowl. To me, it don't make any sense. He just makes a fool out of himself when he gets on there. All he wants to talk about is he never speaks about Auburn because he ain't really don't have anything to speak about. You know, it's like... It's like a few years ago, I knew a lady that she said when Alabama lost to Clemson, said they rolled
Toomer's Corner
because Alabama lost. And my answer was, I'm glad y'all got to use some of that toilet paper because she lost 5 games this year.
Thank you, DR. Up against a break. We have a lot to do. On our program, 3.5 hours to go. Many guests will be dropping by, and your phone calls next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships,
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back in. Let's go to the phones, and Todd is up next in Alabama. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, buddy. Hey, I'm going to go with this. Back in 2008, didn't you say our new defensive coordinator, he was our coordinator then, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Kevin Steele was Nick Saban's first hire when he arrived in Tuscaloosa.
Well, that's what I thought, Paul. And remember when we went in to play the conference championship game? If I remember right, we were leading when John Parker Wilson choked and throwed interception. Then Florida got ahead of us, but we were setting up pretty good right there. I thought he was done a pretty good job.
Well, yeah, he was the defensive coordinator by himself in 07. By 08, Nick Saban had elevated Kirby Smart into that position.
Okay. Well, look, I tell you this. Now, I'm fixing to jump to the number one call. And I don't normally say this, but if my wife turns her head, when Coach Freak down there at Auburn gets that brass pole, I want Legend to swing by the house because I'm south of Birmingham. Pick me up because he's going to be number one in that regard, Paul.
I hear you, brother.
All right, man. You have a good day, Paul.
Todd, thank you. Ross in Chicago is up next. Hey, Ross.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, I was going to call about the portal originally, but then you mentioned Dan Issel. And I think your viewer, your listeners would like to know that Dan Issel grew up not too far from where I live, in a town called Batavia. So it's very interesting to see, you know, to remember him. So I just thought I'd like to bring that up.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. No, I had a fantastic conversation with Dan the other day, and we need to get him back.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the real reason I called was to find out if your sources have found any information about any changes in the portal.
Well, Ross, what's going to happen in the portal is that they have now curtailed it being open 24/7, and it will open briefly again, and then I think it will open again right after spring practice. So that's really been the only changes. Now, they're always talking about more changes, but that's the change for this year.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, so I just thought maybe you had heard from some people that we're definitely maybe talking about how many times college could use the portal or something
well,
like
no,
that.
No, well, right now there aren't any restrictions. That could change. I mean, it is topic number one right now. You know, NIL seems to get all the attention, but coaches to an individual hate the portal because it's because it's open so often. They can never breathe, not knowing what will happen with one of their players. Let's check in with Rick, who's in Florida. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm trying to find out about this NIL money, where it comes from, and is the college involved? Is the NCAA involved? Who determines how much money is available? Like in this
there aren't any caps on it, so it really depends what the source is. Now you hear about these collectives all the time. Those are loosely based to the school, but not directly. Those are primarily booster groups who are putting money in, who will distribute the money probably more equitably than an individual. But if you're a business owner in Gainesville, for the sake of argument, and you own a car wash and you decide you want the incoming quarterback to represent you either on commercials, social media, or to hang out at your car wash and sign autographs, and you can pay him. As long as it's documented with the university, you can essentially give him whatever you want.
So the NCAA nor the university have anything to do with it, correct?
Well, the NCAA's only role is to make sure that I was about to say make sure that nothing untoward or nefarious happens, but that would be a laughable statement. But they're supposed to enforce it to make sure that the university is not in the middle of it, to make sure that you don't have money going under the table. I mean, the key for the NCAA, I think, is the documentation, where they have an accounting of what players are getting through individuals or through that collective.
Well, that was my question. Yeah. Is there any regulation?
No, there's absolutely no regulation at all. The NCAA keeps talking about putting teeth into the enforcement of it, but there is no evidence to date of that happening.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it's confusing. Day. I mean, even though we talk about it every day, there are moments when I'm not sure I even understand what's going on myself, because what's really happening, and let me cut through all the official conversation, is that you have agents out there who are loosely representing players, and they are holding schools hostage. And, every once in a while you'll hear a disgruntled coach talk about specific schools like Boeheim did the other day, like Saban did, like others have, Kiffin. But for the most part, everyone knows what's going on. Everyone is violating some element of the rule. Avery is up next. Good afternoon.
Hi. It's actually two of us. It's Avery, and then I'm Piper.
Piper.
I'm a big Alabama fan, and she's a big Arkansas fan, so we butt heads a lot, but we've been watching the show. It probably came on when we were about 6 or 7.
Yeah, so
we just decided to finally call in because we never have and just wanted to say hi.
So, Piper, what is your age now?
I just turned 16. Sorry, okay. I forgot.
That's okay. No, and you, I'm assuming you folks are sophomore in college, sophomore in high school?
Yeah, we're sophomores in high school. We're actually on a school trip right now together and randomly decided, hey, we should finally call in.
Where are you guys going?
We're actually on a theater trip. We're not very athletic at all, but we like to watch sports and stuff. So mostly football. We're big football fans.
Well, Piper, I am really glad to hear from you, especially having started listening at such an early age. I would imagine when you were young, you probably had no idea what was going on here.
Oh, no, not at all. But I would just watch. It was like, oh, it's green, and these people are running around, and it looks cool, I guess. But I would come home, and I think your show would be on, right when I got home from school, and I'd watch it, every day. And so, I don't know, it's really cool to just call in and see my name on TV.
Well, Piper, we got it up now, both Avery and Piper. We thank you. You guys have a great field trip there, and I hope you'll call again. We're up against a break. More to come here on a Thursday afternoon. Avery and Piper sounds like a show that will come on after us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back here on a Thursday. Ronnie is up next in Birmingham. Ronnie.
Hey, Paul. I am a good listener, not a caller. I've never called before, but grew up with you in Birmingham.
Thank you.
With you since Post Herald and WAPI and all that good stuff. I'm old. I also, before I wanted to compliment you. My career has been doing a lot of listening, and one of the things I appreciate the most about you is you really have a gift for that. You'll listen to people. Yeah, I appreciate you listening to young people when they call, tolerating crazy people, all the things you do, and I really like that.
Thank you.
I was on hold listening to the guy talking about Pete Maravich. That's not why I called, but it made me think my first college basketball game ever was our coach loaded our junior high team up, paid for it, took the school bus, and let us go watch Maravich at Alabama when he put 69 on Alabama. And that's a great memory for me. I remember after the game, he got in a fight with two of our football players in the tunnel and really got the better of them, which may have been why we were 6-5 that year.
That's pretty funny. I've never heard that before.
No, he was exhausted, and we saw a little scuffle there in the tunnel. But I called you with, like a lot of the old guys, with my Bear Bryant story, and I hope you'll tolerate it.
Of course.
It's brief, but I couldn't get in the day you were taking these. I sold programs and parked cars at Legion Field for years. I saw all the college football games free with that. That's what I wanted to do. And in my junior year, I had broken my leg, couldn't work, but the boss man let me go ahead and get in with the pass that we got to watch the games, and I talked my way into the handicapped area. If you remember, Legion Field had that little place in the end zone
where handicapped
people could sit. Gone now, but I talked my way in, was there way early, because that's what we did, was we got in before the crowd came. And, you know, Coach Bryant used to walk the field before the game. He and Charlie Thornton would walk around the field and look at everything before the team ever came out. And he came my way, and I've got my cast propped up there on the fence. I'm so excited because Coach Bryant is coming by. And he literally stopped with Charlie Thornton and looked at me. And with those eyes that you've seen, he said, "How did you break your leg?" And I said, "Playing football, Coach," because I did. And he looked at me and squinted and said, "You must not be very good then." And I was crushed. I thought,
"Oh my goodness!"
This is Coach Bryant. And I really wasn't very good, but I. But after that, what I'll always remember was that face creased, and he had a great big smile on his face, laughed, and signed my cast. Which back in that day, you know, they cut those plaster casts off.
Right. Sure.
And I preserved that for about 10 years until it rotted so badly that I had to throw it away. But I taped it together. And that's my memory.
By the way, that is so interesting that he was being lighthearted, obviously. He wasn't trying.
Yeah, there was a smile. The first look was the look that you've seen when he was mad at you.
Oh, sure.
So, he was a little intimidating when he stopped. You know, but then that crease came, and I think he enjoyed that interaction.
Ronnie, and you saw it, everyone that knew him, he was a man of the people, and I think that's what separated him. And I'm not saying anyone today isn't. It's more difficult to do that today because there's just, he had, you said Charlie, he's on a football field, not that he needs security, but nowadays, these coaches, they have an entourage, and it's more difficult for them to ever have a meaningful conversation with anyone.
No, that was it. He and Charlie Thornton would walk that field. I know you remember the year that the student section at Auburn harassed him before the game. Similar situations, and would yell him, "Plow, Bear, plow."
Right,
because
he
called
him
a cat school. He took Charlie and plowed with him.
A lot of the funniest stories I've ever heard about him, I can't tell because they're just priceless. But I don't know. Every time we get into one of these remembering Brian deals, maybe I'm showing the nostalgic part of my career. But they are just such rich stories. Where I think we missed out a little bit today.
Well, I appreciate you letting me tell that story.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. That is fantastic. Thanks so much. Don is up next. Hey, Don.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Talking about legends of SEC basketball, 1966, Rupp's Runs came to Tennessee to play. Undefeated last game of the year. It was at the old alumni gym, and they had the really great team, Pat Riley, Tommy Kron, Louis Dampier, Thad Jarrett, et cetera. And Tennessee won in an unbelievable game. I was there. And Tennessee was led by, in my opinion, one of the greatest all-around athletes in SEC history, Ron Whidbey.
Mm-hmm.
He lettered in football, basketball, baseball, and I believe golf. And I don't think anybody even knows who Ron Whidbey is, but that was the most incredible ball game I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, Ron went on and had a pretty good career, if I remember.
Yeah, in football, he was a punter, I believe, for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And like I say, I don't think any athletes ever, in my thoughts, have ever lettered in four sports in college.
Yeah, I don't know how you can play that many. I mean, usually back in the day, and really this is tough to do now, you could play football and baseball, and you saw that happen. A lot of quarterbacks were pitchers or vice versa, but now with the year-round attention. Anyway, we're up against a break. We'll talk about Hugh Freeze's revival in Auburn.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.